Welcome to the Springs Church Podcast, where we explore the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they can be applied to our daily lives. Join us as we delve into the Bible and discuss topics such as faith, hope, love, and forgiveness. Our mission is to inspire and empower our listeners to live a life of purpose and meaning and to deepen their relationship with God. Tune in every week for a new episode as we learn how Holy Spirit, the Bible, and a relationship with Jesus will impact every area of your life.
I was reminded today of something we used to say all the time when I was younger in church, and it probably is in a lot of churches, but when someone says God is good, yeah. So we need to be reminded of that. Not only is God good, but he's good all the time. In every situation, no matter what we face, no matter what comes against us, no matter good things that come, he's the one that's good, not the situation or the promotion or the, we thank him for all the good things and it puts life into perspective the right way it's supposed to be. That is not my message, but I just wanted to give us a little injection of goodness there. Today's message comes inspired by my five-year-old. If you don't know me, I grew up in a pastor's home. My husband grew up in a pastor's home. We both had the blessing and the privilege to grow up in church, but not just church, a life-giving and healthy church, both of us, two different churches. How many know after hearing Pastor Zach and also from your personal experiences that not every church is healthy and not every church is life-giving, unfortunately. It's on us to make sure that we find the right family to plug into, to belong, one that puts Jesus at the forefront, the Word of God and living for him and understanding his word in the context of the cross and the grave. So wonderful last week celebrating Easter. Hey, for those of you who maybe were with us for the first time and are back, welcome back. Love to have you. So grew up in church and just didn't want anything else for our kids. We saw the importance. We saw the foundation in our life. I saw how my friends, maybe at school, who didn't build their life on a healthy church, I saw how that life went and saw the fruit of people's decisions who didn't live for God. And I went, oh my goodness, this is so much better. Thank you, mom and dad, and thank you, grandma and grandma, and thank you, great grandma. It goes back many generations, let me tell you, right? That's a promise from the word, generations. The Lord will be there for generations when you put him first in your home. It's just my heart and my desire to really live out what Deuteronomy says, that, you know, we'd love the Lord our God with all of our heart, and then we would teach it to our children. We'd teach these words. We'd show them what it means to love God and teach them to the best of our ability who God is and what we're learning in the Word. And we're not perfect, and they need to see that. They need to see that even in our imperfections, God is good. And even when mom fails, look at this solid foundation we have to come back to and to build our life on and to say sorry and to rebuild, whatever it might be. I've just seen it time and time again in my life and in the lives of so many here at Springs Church over the last 30 years. You couldn't convince me otherwise. And so I just dare to put this into practice as much as possible. I probably do it too much according to some people, but I'm sure the Lord would say it's still not enough. So, you know, but I talk to my kids as much as I can, okay? I look for opportunities throughout the day in nature, in situations, when they're misbehaving. I always look for, Lord, what is the truth in your word that I can make come alive to them? Because right now, outside of Sunday school, I am the main influence in these kids' lives, me and my husband. And if we just write ourselves off because we don't know enough and life just, you know, I'm not the perfect mom, so why would they listen to me? If we come up with a lot of excuses and discount ourselves, that's going to rob our kids of a really strong foundation of who God is, because they're going to learn about God's grace and forgiveness and mercy through you, through your life, even through your failures and your mishaps with them. And they are so hungry, little children. They are so, and I've seen Holy Spirit take my lessons and take it way further where I could not take any credit for what that little heart came up with, because I dared to just share maybe something challenging that mom's dealing with, or a verse I read that really encouraged me today, or just teaching them about creation. Honestly, guys, you can think of anything throughout the day. There's a scripture to go with it. There's something to learn. There's something to grow in. And I think why I've really been leaning into this a lot, and I shared this verse, I think the last time I was with you guys, Mark 4, Jesus is talking and he says, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given." And when we look at this and study this in different translations, and he's talking about truth, that when you hear truth, now this is the only truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. When you hear truth, it is up to you the measure of thought and study that you are going to incline your ear to, that you are going to open your heart to. And God cannot fill a heart that wants nothing to do with him. I mean, he's God, so you'd think he's capable, but he invented this beautiful responsibility and gift and privilege called free will. Otherwise, he would have made a bunch of robots. So he made people who could choose him, right? And so the measure of thought and study, when we incline our ear and we go, okay, I believe I could learn something here. I believe there's something here for me that could change the way I see something in my life. And even if I don't understand it fully right now, the only way I'll understand it is to give a measure of thought and study to it. But the more measure of thought and study I give is what will return back to me in revelation. He's a heart God. So he reveals things through his heart to your heart and it comes alive in you. But if you don't give any thought and study to it, it goes on to say that even what you have will be taken away from you. Because if you're not learning the truth, look at the world we live in. Of course it's going to be taken away from you. And even what you think you have isn't anything according to the Bible. Because if you don't have truth, only the truth you know sets you free, right? So have you made a decision to know the truth? And not just know it, thank you, Jesus, you died for me, but know it as a conquest, as an adventure, as a day in, day out. There is more truth for me to unpack and open and live out. And God wants to reveal his truth to me in ways that will bless my children, that will change my marriage, that will enlarge my heart to the widow and the orphan and the poor, that will bring revelation to my job, to problems I'm facing. The truth is what sets me free, but it's the truth I know. The truth I know. So this journey of knowing, okay? And this I've found with my kids, as I journey to know God and I invite them into that journey, they want to know him. And so they ask me a lot of big questions because I'm constantly talking to them about it. And I don't have all the answers, but I love that I'm establishing a place where they know they come to me. Right? I don't want them going to all sorts of other people for truth. I'm going to help them discover it. If I don't have the answer to a certain question, well, let's study the Bible together. Let's find out, because what does the Bible say? The Holy Spirit will teach you all things. So when I enter into certain situations in my life, well, all situations, any relationship, any job situation, any trauma or abuse that you've endured, God wants to reveal truth and heal and bring wholeness to something, but you need to open your heart to the truth to get rid of any lies, to get rid of any pride, any issues, and it has to start with this desire to know. I want to know him. I want to know about him, and you need to dare to dive into that, not just feel that, but we walk by faith. Right? We walk, we journey, we go through our day by believing in a God who is good, a God who sent his son to die in our place, a God who, if I seek him, delivers me from all of my fears. So that is the foundation with which I take steps. I take steps in his word. I take steps with how he tells me to live, because I believe him, even though I don't know how it's all going to come together. But isn't it great that we don't have to take responsibility for it? Well, how does he deliver me from? I don't know. Who cares? He just does it. Right? Like, we can get caught up in some of the silliest things that keep us on the sidelines of life. Well, how is he going to do it? And how will I know if it's him? And oh, all the questions the enemy tries to just get your head confused in, because he doesn't want you to journey through the truth. He doesn't want you to know it in your marriage, in your feelings, in your mind, in your thoughts. And so so this question with my son, we were traveling somewhere, and all of a sudden he goes, "Mom, when we go to heaven, is our van going to come with us? And a very silly, simple question, let me tell you, has blessed me for months because I leaned in to this question. I leaned in and I gave a measure of thought and study to my God, the source of truth, and I dared to do my best to answer Oscar based off the word that I've hidden in my heart all these years. And I said, well, why do you ask, Oscar? Well, I really like our van. Any van admirers in the house? We really like our van at the Shimoda house, so vans all the way. I said, I understand, kid. I'd love to see that van in heaven too, but did you know we're not gonna need it? In heaven, heaven's perfect. Heaven has no flaws. It has no obstacles. So whatever transportation looks like in heaven, it's gonna be the best possible transportation that God could ever provide. So I believe we fly, we transport, I don't know, but whatever it is, it's super fun and cool and we don't need the van. So, and then as I was like giving my thought and study to it, right? Another thought came in, which I'm gonna give thanks to Holy Spirit for it. I'm not gonna say I came up with it on my own. And I said, you know what, bud, actually, the things that people make, they don't last forever. You know, we build houses, and eventually they get renovated or torn down. We build vans. Eventually, it's going to end up as a pancake in the junkyard. It's going to deteriorate. It's going to rust. It's going to, you know, all the things that men make, they're not eternal. But you know what's so cool? God is forever, and everything he makes lasts forever. And he made us, so we last forever. And when we choose Jesus and we decide we want to live with him, that's what we do. We live with Jesus forever. And when we leave this body, and we pass away at a really old age, I'm talking, you're going to be a great grandpa, Oscar. I paint visions in my children's head. When we're super old, unless Jesus comes back before then we're going in a much cooler way. We're gonna go home. We last forever. Isn't that so cool? And then the conversation ended there with Oscar. It's always really quick with children, but you get those moments of nuggets, right? It moved on to like his pet T-Rex in heaven, and all the candy they get to eat, and no tummy aches, and no food dye, and no preservatives, and all the crap on earth that we have to deal with. And so I was like, yeah, it's gonna be awesome. And just painting a vision of our home in my children's hearts. Because the word is very clear. Earth is our assignment. Heaven is our home. And this one simple question, is our van going to heaven, changed something in my heart forever when it came to eternity. And wow, God, the things you make last forever. And like love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, those things have been here forever and they're gonna last forever. And wow, and then I thought more about it. So I'm giving thought and study to it, and the Lord's able to take me and reveal me things. And I went, wait a second, you didn't make love, you are love. So you've always been here and this is just who you are. This is your nature. Oh, wow, God. And I'm telling you, there are more than one moment in your day where God wants to teach you like this. But it's according to the measure of thought and study that you are willing to give to him in your day, in your plans, and just take a moment to just rejoice in the goodness of him. You know, Colossians says that we set our mind on things above and not on things of this earth. And that is what we do when we talk about scripture, when we talk about God. We're setting our mind on things that this world does not know. The Bible says that the enemy is the god of this world. For a very short time, thank the Lord, because we really messed it up our first opportunity in the garden. But thank the Lord that God is love, because he didn't have to rescue us, guys. He didn't. We couldn't have forced him. We guess we could have begged him. I don't even know that they knew the extent of their decision, but he did tell them, you're gonna die if you eat from this tree. And then they didn't physically die, they spiritually died, and thus begins the incredible redemption plan of Jesus. And thank the Lord we live in this new covenant where Jesus actually, what he's done was in our place, and Holy Spirit comes to live in us when we believe. So what lives in us God, love lives in us. The very fullness of love lives in us, but yet we have to make a decision where we are going to set our mind in the day, in the activity, in the all the to-do list. And the, I tell you, I get it. This life has responsibilities, but God gets it too. God really gets it. He understands where we live, what's going on. In fact, he understands it far better than us. And he understands us better than us. And he understands our kids and our spouse. And he is love. And we get to decide what we are going to seek, who we're going to seek, what we're going to go after. And this simple question put me on a journey in so many different directions because I just wanted to help Oscar figure out that answer. And it brought me so much joy. And Jesus says in John 17, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. It's one of the final prayers he prays before going to the cross, that his heart's just saying that they would know us. That's what God longs for. The God of love, who actually does know us, like he knew us before the foundation of the world, wants to intimately be known by you. Close, best friends, that your thoughts, your ideas, your heart would be given to him because who he is perfect, who he is good. And we in and of ourselves in our fallen nature before we come to God, oh man, we're messed up. And then when we do give our life to Jesus, we need to see ourselves in him. We need to give our thought and study to what it means to live in Christ. In 1 John 4, it says, those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. Did you see that? Everyone who loves is fathered by God. Doesn't matter what kind of earthly father has let you down. God cares and he loves you and he is the best father. And he will father you and experience him in an intimate knowledge. This is not a God who wants to be far away. This is a God who became one of us to come and take our place because he so longed to be in relationship with us because that's love. Love wants to be with us. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. Said it twice within a couple verses. It means the author is really trying to get our attention on something. The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. There wasn't even a guarantee. He knew that. But he loved us so much, he wanted to do everything on his part. He wanted it all done so that all you would have to do is choose him and believe him. Amen? This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love and not ours. We can't even take credit for the love we have, guys. The love we have for our children, the love we have for the beautiful nature that God's given us or the yummy food or the things that he wants to bless us with. It's not even our love. It's his. Love has been here before we were here. And all we can really say is, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for this ability to love, that you've given me a heart and a life that I can love people because you first loved me. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrificial offering to take away our sins. It's not something we have to deal with. Jesus took them away. Delightfully loved ones, which means God delights in you. If he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving one another should be our way of life. It should be all that we think about, all that we do, all that we express ourselves should just be about how can I love? That's the purpose of this assignment here on earth. No one has ever gazed upon the fullness of God's splendor, but if we love one another, God makes his permanent home in us, and we make our permanent home in him, and his love is brought to its full expression in us. Isn't that beautiful? Love isn't a feeling. Love isn't just a place. It's an expression. It's a constant activity. It's something that longs to be given of itself and poured out, overflowing, never running dry. Love wants to take its expression in you. And he has given us his spirit within us so that we can have the assurance that he lives in us and that we live in him. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. That one dropped into my heart last night and almost made me cry. The very same spirit that caused Jesus to breathe his first breath after he won the keys of life and death for us. The exact same spirit lives inside of me as a believer, lives inside of you. And God gave us that assurance. There isn't more of God in heaven. Every bit of God lives in a believer. Like, wrap your mind around that one. Give your thought and study to that one and watch it transform your whole life. So this spirit in us, it wants to express itself. What is its expression? Galatians 5, 22, but the fruit produced by the Holy Spirit, it's not produced by you and your efforts and you getting your life in order and being perfect and getting it all right and your good works and dealing and forgiving everyone. And these are good things, but they are not the first thing. Holy Spirit, it's produced by him, not us. Holy Spirit produces these things in us as we participate with him. It says, within you is divine love in all of its varied expressions. So love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this is what love means. Joy that overflows, peace that subdues, patience that endures, kindness in action, a life full of virtue, faith that prevails, amen, gentleness of heart, and strength of spirit. These are all eternal things. Joy isn't some object that's fleeting and comes and goes. Kindness isn't just some little notion that we do when we feel like it. It lives in you. Love wants to express itself through you. Your Father God wants to love you through these and love others. As you seek to know him, that's what Jesus said, eternal life is knowing God and knowing Jesus. As you give your thought and study to God throughout your day, throughout your obstacles, throughout even feeling like, well, I don't deserve it. Yeah, none of us do. Join the club. You're in the right place. You know, when the enemy tries to give you something to bury you down, sometimes it's best to just agree with him. You don't deserve it. Yeah, I know I don't, but Jesus loves me anyways. Try something else, right? This assurance and receiving truth with your whole heart will silence the enemy. That when he tries to make you feel like a failure, yeah, I know that in me, I can't get myself to where I need to be. That's why God loves me and he sent Jesus and I'm gonna find myself in him and I'm just gonna get you to shut up. I'm gonna keep reading the word. I'm gonna keep speaking the promises and the victory that I have in Jesus because it's my choice what I know and where I set my mind. Have you noticed that if you want, you can know anger? If you want, you can know frustration, annoyance, irritants. If you want, you can know what judgment feels like and gossip and envy. Have you realized it's just a simple thought, a simple decision, and you choose to keep taking that train of thought? And before long, goodness, why did I choose anger? Why did I choose that our choice of what we want to seek after and what we want to know produces a fruit, either bad or good? And so this habit of staying in the word and staying in communion with God, just talking to him like you would anybody else. Good morning, Father. Thank you for this day. Just getting in the habit. Put post-it notes all over your house says, talk to God, talk to God. Remind yourself till you get in a real good habit of he's with you. That's his nature, that he's everywhere. You can't escape his presence. He's always with you. We are so blessed. And when you talk to him, when you come to him, you can seek to know him even in your failures, even in your shortcomings, even if you fly off the handle at your kids and all of a sudden Holy Spirit goes, oh, Eden, love lives in you, joy lives in you, kindness. You have to have the guts to go, Mom, sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I was frustrated. Would you forgive me? You have to be able to make way for love. And the more you do it, the more it takes the place of this person that we've decided to know instead that gets us nowhere. So So Colossians 3:2, we just talked about it, setting our mind on things above. Let's read it in context of the scriptures around it. If then you were raised with Christ, when he was resurrected, we were resurrected. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died. Amen. Right? Hey, we all got a you that needs to die. And according to the word, it died with Jesus. But somehow we can resurrect that dead fellow by what we choose to know. Do I want to know the old me? Or do I want to know who Christ in me is? It's simple. It's simple, but maybe not easy. But we can do it because I've gotten it right and I've gotten it wrong, and it's so much better to just let Christ live for you. So, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen. I can't wait for Jesus to come back. That would be a glorious day. When he comes, those who know him, those who believe in him will appear also with him, and we will go to glory. And we need the revelation that who we once were without God, that person is dead. That's why water baptism holds so much significance, because it's signifying that you identify with what Christ did for you. The old you goes into the water, you come up, that new life in Christ, and now this journey with Jesus is, I choose Jesus, I choose love, and you're gonna get it wrong. You're imperfect. We know this, he knows this, but he is perfect, and love, it never fails. So we fail. Let's get over ourselves here. Let's stop having pity parties. Let's stop giving excuses as to why we can't be victorious in Christ. He got rid of all of those excuses in Jesus. Amen? Does that make you excited like it makes me excited? Because I just go, thank you, Lord. There is no argument, there is no logic, there is no reasoning that can take away from the perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and I get to decide what I'm gonna know. Whether I'm gonna go on that train of envy and gossip and judgment, or whether I'm gonna choose the Jesus way, as Phil Wickham would sing. I love that song, The Jesus Way. There is a way that God has created for us to live, and the only way we can do it is to know him, to know what lives inside of us, to know that love, that we don't lack any good thing. The same God of the heaven, his spirit, by his Holy Spirit, lives in you. I don't know how it works, but I just say, thank you, Jesus, it's mine, and I have seen him in my life. I have seen the fruit of that relationship in my home, in my thought life, going through some of the hardest things in my life. I have seen him when I choose to seek him in everything. So in those moments of despair, or in those moments of frustration, or in those moments where the enemy comes and tries to tell you who you are, you go, you know what? I'm with Jesus. So I'm gonna learn all about him, and I'm gonna get to know him real well, so that when I get to heaven, things are familiar. It's not like, oh, didn't know that was gonna be there. It's gonna be like, oh, I'm home, I'm home. That's all we get to take with us. That's all we get to take with us, is what we know, who we are, allowing God's character to change us. That's what we're in charge of, and that's what we can do with his help. Nothing, he doesn't ask anything of us that he doesn't empower and equip us to do by his Spirit. Literally, you couldn't give me anything that would be a good enough excuse to not go after Jesus, because it's just too good to be true. That's why it's called the good news. And it's for everyone who believes. I've been with so many loved ones, so many, and I count it in a privilege and honor. I hope I'm able to be there for many more loved ones as they breathe their last breath on earth. And we sing hymns, and we smile, and we hold their hand, and we stroke their hair, and the family fills the room. They're going home. It's a reunion. And you know what? The funniest thing, their body stays. Their clothes stay here. In fact, their wallet, I mean, it's still there in the room, in the bag. They take nothing. And this is why it's so important that we set our mind on things above, because what we have in Christ is far. It shouldn't even exist in the same sentence. It's far superior than anything this world has to offer us. And if we're not careful, and if we're not actively knowing Him and setting our mind on Him and who He is, because everything He is what fills heaven. Love is what made heaven. Love is what fills heaven, and there's no corruption, no sin, no sickness, no pain, no tears, nothing. But we have an assignment here. We need to fill that place as best as we can, and Jesus is going to come back when He gets the biggest harvest. That's how He works. God knows the perfect time, but if you want Him to come sooner, I don't know if that's a thing, but you just need to start sharing your testimony. You need to start like introducing people to Jesus everywhere you go and start giving Him all the glory for every good thing in your life, so people start waking up that you aren't the good thing, that God in you is the good thing. Amen? That is our assignment on this earth, to let love live in us. And as we close, I just want to read 1 Corinthians 13 in the Passion Translation, because God is love. So this is God's nature, guys. And this is what's available to us whenever we choose to know it. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong, in what is evil. What does the Bible say? Cling to what is good and hate what is evil. Uses some big words there. No delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Other translations, this is where it says love never fails. Well, love the Passion Translation. Love never stops loving. Love's always been here. Love always will be here. That's why God can say, I never change. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's a strong foundation. This is what's available to you at a moment's notice. This love, it extends beyond the gift of prophecy, which eventually fades away. It is more enduring than tongues, which will one day fall silent. Love remains long after words of knowledge are forgotten. Our present knowledge and our prophecies are but partial. But when love's perfection arrives, the partial will fade away. When I was a child, I spoke about childish matters, for I saw things like a child and I reasoned like a child. Guys, it's time to stop being a child in our faith. In the way that a child is, this is mine. I want this. Why did they do this to me? They should have to know why that desire that children, they haven't quite matured yet, children. So they're trying to figure out this whole thing that us as parents need to help them on. But that greediness, that pride, that getting what you want, that making someone suffer for them hurting you, and or that the other thing my kids say, I can't do it. I can't do it, Mom. Can you help me? You can do it. That's childish. That's childish ways. That's childish thoughts. It says, but when I put away, where am I? But the day came when I matured and I set aside my childish ways. They're your childish ways. Ain't God's. God's like, could you just quit being a crybaby? Like, I mean, God says that very loving. This is Eden's words. I don't have scripture to say that's how He says that. But as a parent, I could only understand. It's always with love, but He's like, come on, you're crying about something that you have no reason to cry about, is what He'd say. I've taken care of this for you. You don't need to look at this as a child looks at it. And I know He says to come with Him with childlike faith. We're talking about the other side of childhood, okay? So we put that away and we mature. How do we mature? We let love live in us, because when you let love have its expression through you, loving others should be our way of life, it says. And a child doesn't, most children, it takes a while to have a revelation to put people first. Typically, we're always thinking of what I'm hungry. I want this. I want that. I want that new toy. But we put away childish things because you could buy your children all the toys they want, but they're going to grow old. And one day they're going to take their last breath. And what do you really want them to have known? Jesus, his love, his grace, his mercy, his joy, his goodness. I'm not here to make my kids happy. I'm here to love them and show them Jesus, which means some days they are going to be childish and say things they don't mean about me. And I need to have tough skin and go, no, I need to lead you in the way of God. And I know this is right because we ain't taking your cool super soaker to heaven. Right? Let's not set our mind on the things of this world. Let's set our mind on the fact that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. It's done, it's finished, and that we can live kingdom of heaven on earth. And we can know him. And what we seek to know makes all the difference. He wants you to know him inside and out. He does not play hide and seek. He's got it all in his word. This is the best place to start. It's the only place to dwell face to face with God. His word is alive and active and living and full of energy. It divides. It does exactly what it needs to do to lead you into truth and freedom. And let me tell you, our life needs freedom, needs his freedom. Your neighbors need to see his freedom in your life, which means letting go of the fact that you don't get it right all on your own. And we need him. And he's just like, yeah, let me show you. Let me show you how. He's just waiting for us to get over our childish rants and just go, God, I choose love. I choose you. I choose your spirit in me. And that's how I'm going to live. How am I for time? Okay. I didn't finish it, but the day comes. For now we see but a faint reflection of riddles and mysteries as though reflected in a mirror. But one day we will see face to face. One day you're going to look in the face of God. One day you're going to see that precious face of your Savior. And it's going to be the best day. But don't wait to heaven to know him. You don't want to be a newbie in heaven. You want to be the tour guide. Oh, I know God's love. I know his joy. Because there will be some newbies. And there's place for everyone who believes on Jesus, no matter where they were in their journey. Maybe they didn't get to know him. God still welcomes them into heaven. But there's going to be some of us who know him. Let me take you around. Let me show you. Let me tell you what God did in my life. And we're going to encourage each other. And we're going to testify to his goodness. Let's know him now. And let's take what we know with us. Because it's going to be amazing. My understanding is incomplete now, but one day I will understand everything, just as everything about me has been fully understood. Until then, there are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. Yet love surpasses them all. You know, you're not going to need faith and hope in heaven. Amen. That's exciting. So use it all up down here. Don't give up on faith. Don't give up on hope. You have a living hope in Christ Jesus, and your faith is what produces the evidence of things not seen. It's not that they don't exist. It's just that you don't see them yet. Put your faith in the one who sees it all and wants to show you in your marriage, in your body, in your mind. But love surpasses them all because love's always been here. Love always will be here. Love fills every ounce, every corner of heaven, fills every part of us if we choose to know it and let it live in us. I tell you, it surpasses them all. So above all else, let love be the beautiful prize for which you run. What a prize. What a prize. Wherever you go, love is with you. And I pray that you would look for these moments in your day, because I believe I miss some of them. But man, when I really look for them, they're there. And God wants to teach me all things by his Spirit. And he wants to reveal his truth about the real world, which is heaven, the world he designed. This world is governed by Satan. This is not the real world. This is not God's plan, God's design. But Jesus made a way so that you could bring his kingdom to this earth and take back territory from the enemy. And we've got to get good at getting our mind off of the things of this world and saying yes to Jesus and asking him for assignments each day. God, bring me people to love. I'm going to lift my eyes up. I'm going to keep my eyes eyes on people, and I'm gonna let love express itself through me, and I'm gonna get better and not getting irritated so quickly, and you know what? When you make that choice, you allow Holy Spirit to now keep teaching you. Because if you're not a student, you're not gonna be taught. But if you show up every morning and in every situation and in every disaster, and even in the times where you ruin it, Holy Spirit, I ruined it, teach me, I need you. I've flopped this one. He's a redeemer, guys. There's nothing you can do that he can't bring you back from. It might wreck some relationships that you need to take some time mending because they're not as forgiving as God is. So that's some wisdom there that we need to remember. Can't just blow up on people because God doesn't control their heart and they've got their own journey, but God will always welcome you, always love you, always show you a path to bring it back to life and to bring it to love. Amen? We are so loved. And I pray that that encourages your heart today and that you look for those opportunities, no matter what age you are, whether you have young kids or grandkids or no kids or older kids, let love be expressed through you to your family, to your neighbors, to yourself, to God, because it's the adventure of a lifetime. And you will only see it when you taste it. Taste and see. Trust in him, and you will not lack any good thing, as I read from Psalm 34 during prayer. I'm just gonna keep going if I don't pray, so let's pray. God, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, for your church. God, it is just an honor and a privilege to be loved by you, God. And I just pray that we wouldn't take any credit for the love you've given us, but that we'd find ways to give you the credit all the time, because every good thing comes from you. I pray that we'd walk in that humility and that grace and that understanding that yes, we don't deserve it, but we are so loved, and we can live in that love, and we can forgo shame and condemnation, because the word says that those who are in Christ Jesus, who find their life in him, there is no shame and condemnation for those. So we thank you for victory in the hearts and minds of people here today, that the bondage of religion, the walls of maybe just a lack of knowing you would be broken today, that there'd be a heart that hungers and thirsts after the things of God. And the God, I know you're gonna fill it with revelation upon revelation. You've already started today in our hearts. And I thank you that we would lean in, that we'd give a measure of thought and study to it, that we'd give more and more to it, that you would lead us and guide us into all these miraculous moments that you have planned for us, God, for you are good. With every head bowed, if you're here and you wanna begin that relationship with God, the word says, for God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish and have eternal life. And in Romans, it says, if you believe, you just need to speak it. Your mouth is power. And so you just say, Jesus, I believe you died for me and I want that life. There's no magic prayer or saying. It's just the belief in the heart and the invitation with the mouth. But I'd love to lead you through a prayer to invite God's Spirit to make his home in you, to bring love into every facet of who you are. And if that's you today, would you just raise your hand so I know that we're praying with you today? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. I see that hand. So good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your son Jesus. I believe that he died in my place and I get new life in him. Thank you that you never leave me. I want to live with you forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's so good.